Welcome to What Is It About the Weather, the weekly podcast where we pick a topic and explore how the weather-related world impacts us, maybe in some not-so-obvious ways. I'm your host, Mark Jelinek, and this week we're going to be talking about how can I grade my weather person, or weather service, weather app, whatever it might be, but whoever gives you your weather forecast. But before we dive in, let me first say, of course, as always, I hope you've had an enjoyable, intertwined weather week. And as you remember, a little while back, it's another month that's gone by. When we had this National Weather Podcast Month, one of the things that came out of that was being certified as a Weather Ready Nation Ambassador. Now, I know for all my global listeners, you're wondering, how does this relate to me? But trust me, all listeners can benefit from this. One of the things going on this coming week, and as always, there'll be some links in the show notes that you can look into, is we have Hurricane Preparedness Week. Now, you may think, okay, well, it's based on U.S. stuff, but let's be real. People all over the globe are impacted by tropical cyclones. You may not call them hurricanes. You may call them tropical cyclones or typhoons or whatever name you want to put on them. But there's something in the information that's provided that can probably help you if you live anywhere near areas that are impacted by tropical cyclones. So take a look, learn a bit more. There's also some interesting surveys going on. They're a little more U.S.-centric because for those that don't know, the U.S., and for those that live here, you certainly probably do, we have these, it seems like, all these confusing colors and names for different advisories, whether it's a winter storm or whether it's a tropical cyclone or a hurricane, or it's a severe weather or it's a tornado, and what's a watch and what's an advisory and what's a warning. And they are working to try to streamline that. Now, keep in mind with all that stuff, it was born out of a day and age where a lot of those things were built individually. So the first thing was to bring all those things together into a single source. It wasn't 20 years ago that you were still very focused on getting your weather information locally. So you only heard about these warnings that were relevant to you, and so you usually had a handful of them. But if you go to for instance, the U.S. National Weather Service map, and you see all these different colors and types of warnings go up, it can be numbing, to say the least. Other countries, and I've talked about this before, have made a step to try to simplify their warning process. The U.S. is going through the same thing, and they are taking feedback and input. Specifically, there's some stuff related to flooding and winter weather going on. And I will put a link to those surveys so you can go take them if you're interested. All right, so let's jump into the main topic of the day. The main topic. How, you can even ask why, would you grade your weather source, your weather forecast source? Let's call it that. Because, sometimes it's people, as I mentioned, sometimes it's a website, sometimes it's an app. Could be the newspaper, right? I know some people still get their weather there. Wherever it is, you get forecast. You make decisions based on those forecasts. And maybe you want to know, as someone who was speaking with me just this week, who was not real happy with their forecaster, it's like, I think they did a horrible job. Well, how do you know? Well, the timing seemed off. What timing? And the more you ask questions, the more you realize that, maybe the forecast wasn't spot on, and they're looking for some way to gauge how good that forecast was. But whatever the case is, it's probably easier than you think. Maybe you've never really thought about taking the time to do it. Now, there's an easy way, a real easy way for some cases. And I was reminded of this as I was kind of prepping for this, and it actually came across an article about rated the best forecast over past so many years. But there's a service or in a company, actually, that produces a report. And that report verifies. Now, it is U.S.-centric in theory. The report actually goes into more detail. But if you live in the U.S., you can use this service, okay? And I don't know if it does it for global locations. I'll try to look that up while we're talking about this. You can actually type in a zip code here in the U.S. and it will give you, let's see if I can do it. Let me type in, since I have a thing there, Santiago, Chile. Let me see if they do that location. No, So my impression is it's only for U.S. locations. Okay. But here, if you live here in the U.S., you can go to something called forecastadvisor.com. Simply type in your zip code or your city, and it will actually show you for what would be online available data. And this would include things like the National Weather Service. This would include things like an AccuWeather or Weather Underground, okay? Or any of those services, and even a couple of the apps like the Dark Sky app, where they can get the information and they give you a little forecast. I'm not sure where the forecast comes from. That's interesting. Free local weather. So they're working with somebody. So it's a little bit kind of an ad-based, service-based thing. But in the midst of all that, they provide you a rating for the last month and last year from some basic services like AccuWeather. I mentioned Weather Underground, Weather Channel, Dark Sky, National Weather Service, Medio Group, World Weather Online, and even Persistence. And if you don't know what Persistence is, that's just going with the same forecast for tomorrow's today. Now, they're grading in this online version. The report goes into some different scenarios, but in the online version, they're grading the 1 to 3 day forecast. And they're looking at how often was the high or low temperature within 3 degrees, okay? Which is kind of a standard sort of verification thing that's used here. I'm not sure where that came from. It's reasonable enough. You know, there's always got to be some room for error in there. And then they also, interestingly, they evaluate precipitation. Now, they don't do it on an amount, which is a little trickier to do, and you could argue how much value is in that. But they do it, it's interesting, they do it both on the icon that's presented, that you see visually, as well as the supporting text. And if the item calls for precipitation, how often that comes through. So you can see that right there. You don't have to do anything more. It's all right there available to you. Now, of course, there's some caveats in that, right? Is that may not be your only source of weather information. And you may want to look at something in a little more detail. So let's talk about it from that perspective. Let's talk about, you know, really more of when I started thinking about this episode, what I envision. Now, this would give you a way to, you could still do those services and potentially do things like your broadcast meteorologist that you get from a television or even their website, but something that's not, you know, those organizations are large national or multinational organizations, and it's easy for that company to get that. And actually other companies can work with this company to get the data and analyze their own forecast as well. So you're just not going to see it when it, maybe it's companies, you know, like I've worked for that focus on producing forecasts for commercial clients, not the public sector. But before you get too deep into this process, it probably makes some sense to ask yourself some key question, which is, why are you doing this? You know, I gave you an example, but maybe you want to know during the hot time of the year, the cold time of the year, how often the forecasts that are for above or below a certain level pan out, right? Because maybe you have a personal threshold. For me, yeah, it's somewhere in that, I don't know, 85, 86 degrees, 30°C range that I want to know if a day is going to be above that, because it really does impact what I might do. On the flip side of that, right, you have this on the cold side, maybe things getting below a certain temperature. Maybe you need it for, you know, whether you're going to turn the heat and air conditioning on or those sort of things. So there could be a variety of things like that. Maybe you want to know how often, as the thing pointed out, they call for precip, and do you really get precip? Right? And what threshold do you want to use? You know, maybe they're saying 30 or 40 or 50% chance. Maybe you want to know every time they say 50% chance that does it actually happen. So there's usually some motivation, right? You don't like it's hot when it's hot, or you may make plans to be in an air-conditioned space. What do? Or you may be actually in a situation where you don't have access. In Santiago, for instance, I didn't have much access to air conditioning, but I might plan my day knowing what the temperatures were going to be. And so having an accurate forecast would help. So there's kind of what's your motivation behind it. And then really, what do you hope to learn? Are you hoping to learn how good a job they do, how often they get it right, how often they get it wrong? You know, you need to think through what kind of grade you want to assess. Are you looking for the average? On average, are they better? Or the number of times a certain thing takes place? And then ultimately, what will you do with the information once you have it? Because I can tell you, this is a neat exercise. Anybody can do it. But if you're not going to make any actionable decision on it, I'm not sure it's time well spent, quite frankly. All these things take time. So just keep all those things in mind as you're kind of going through the process. Why do I feel a need? Right? Maybe you've had some bad forecasts, or maybe you just want to know about extreme weather. You know, are they giving you advance warning when, you know, you're in an area that gets severe weather quite a bit? Right? And you want to have advance warning on that. So are they providing you that? I will tell you, most of the time people tend to stick to temperatures and precipitation. Why? Because it's one of the areas that's probably most objective, and it has some bearing every day. You know, severe weather's not always there. And I would tell you, everybody should have a severe weather source they trust and that they can generally count on to give them advance warning that might be different or might be part of a bucket of places that you get weather forecasts from the rest of the time. You may have a difference on whether you want, you know, you're just curious about how often they get the next day right versus how often they get the next 3 or 5 days. But just have a sense, because you'll find yourself after the fact wondering, oh, I wish I'd done this and that. So think about it a little bit before you walk down the path. Now, how do you go about doing it? Now, I mentioned that service. That's certainly one way. But let's say you do want to incorporate some broadcast meteorologist or somebody that's an individual that you trust that maybe is more local to you. Now, the first thing you've got to do is decide how you want to go about doing this. You can do it on a piece of paper. You really can. You know, if you're not doing anything too complex, you're just looking at temperatures, you can do it on a scratch pad. And that may be the easier way. But I will tell you, a spreadsheet, whether it's a Microsoft Excel, a Google Sheets, whatever it might be, will make your life easier in doing the calculations and going through the process. So think about including that as part of the process if you have easy access to it. Now, again, you've decided in advance what kind of information you're going to track. You've set up a little spreadsheet. You know, maybe you're doing 3 days. The other thing I would say is data is important on both sides. So I always recommend, if you're going to go through a verification process, if you have the time, which hopefully you do, right? If you have the time to do it, consider evaluating multiple forecasts, not just the one that maybe you're most interested in, but it's good to have a comparison. How are others doing compared to what I thought was most important? Now, your goal may be, I have 3 television stations and I want to know which one is the best in my market. Or I use online services, I have this app, and I have a broadcast meteorologist, which is best? So you may already be doing that, but even if you wanted just to rate one person or one station, consider judging them in the context of others so that you have a baseline by which to do it, okay? Now, we know what we're going to evaluate. Might be temperatures, might be precip. Yeah, you might even do something like amount of the day that it was cloudy. You can do those sort of things. Again, it gets a little trickier because not everybody produces forecasts in a way that you can pull that information easily. But let's assume you're going to do temperature precip. You need to plan of gathering enough data to be evaluated. So it's not just what's the variable. It's, as we talked about a little earlier, making sure you're getting enough of a window to do a fair comparison. Now, I did this thing, where I looked at the winter weather forecast for a couple of providers. And realistically, I should have gotten multiple forecasts. Now, one of them, they don't change their forecast, so it was kind of interesting. But I should have looked at maybe multiple cities. Should have looked at forecasts given over multiple days. That's the way to be most fair and objective, right? Because everybody can have a bad day. So think about whether it's a month's worth of data or at least a few weeks, what that time span is for the different variables. So get that in place. And then you're going to say, well, okay, I got that. Know who I'm going to evaluate, what variable I'm going to evaluate, how long I'm going to evaluate for. You got all those things covered. But how can I check it? that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, they put a little check mark on their screen that said they did okay, but how do I know that's right? They put a number up there. Where'd they get that number? Now, that company that does the evaluation for some of these services already, where they get it is where you can get it. There's a variety of automated weather stations across the globe. Most of them tend to be associated with airports and cities. And that's usually, though, where the official forecast is for a location. You can search and probably find out. And this is the case whether you're in the U.S. or other place around the globe. They're usually what we call, I'm not going to get into the acronyms, but it's an automated station that essentially pulls the stuff. Sometimes they pull it very frequently, and you see just an hourly reading of it. In any case, it's something that someone usually goes back and does quality control on, but that's kind of the official weather. And here in Atlanta, we have one. It's down at the Atlanta Airport, a little south of the city. And those are things to keep in mind, right? Which might be why a weather forecast sometimes is a little different for where you are than what the official forecast is. And those are things to keep in mind when you're looking at how you're evaluating, is making sure that you're getting the number that's consistent with how you're going to validate. Now, most broadcast locations, that's what they do. But in a doubt, if you ever have a concern about that, find out where your official location is and make sure if you're gauging by pulling data by zip code or something else that you are really getting the official verification, because that's really the best way you'll have is to know that you're really matching it compared to what a forecast was issued for. But know why they're forecasting a location. But if you have the option of in your app typing in the zip code, for instance, make sure you type in a zip code near the official location when you're pulling the data. But we're still back to the same thing. Where do you get it? Now, here in the U.S., we have a few options. The National Weather Service has something called, if you just type in NWS Climate into Google, you will find a webpage. It's a little map of the U.S., and you can kind of click where you're located, and it will take you to your local National Weather Service office, and in there, they have a few options to pull data. They do kind of a daily report, but they also have this nice monthly summary. And you can pull up that monthly summary and get all the data. They even have this ability now. They have a tool that allows you to do some evaluation information that's a little more online kind of stuff. And some of these reports will even tell you, you know, how different it is than normal, and provide more variables than you might want to evaluate it. But the basic stuff will be there. Now, that's fine and dandy for those in the U.S., but you're saying, okay, I'm not in the U.S., or I want to evaluate multiple locations, or I want to do something I'm not seeing on this map. But if you're in Europe or Asia or Australia or Africa, and you also want to go through this process, you can do it too. And there's a couple of good sources for you as well. Like I said, in the U.S., I think that National Weather Service location's probably the best for people. Again, a link to that will be in the show notes. For those of you in other global locations, there's two options that I recommend. The first of which is actually Weather Underground. You can go in and type in your station, and they if you do the almanac, which you might have to scroll down to find it on your page. And again, make sure you do a search. It's good to know what the code is, and this is good just in general, for your airport where that weather station is likely located, so that you can type it in. Like in Atlanta, it's ATL, but for instance here, in many of the U.S. stations, we put a K in front of it, the letter K. So it's KATL. And if I type that into Weather Underground, it takes me specifically to the results for that location. That way I know I'm not getting one of the alternate, because we have a couple of regional airports here that also have these data records. And maybe that's what you want to evaluate. But I'm just saying, just make sure you know what you're getting. But you can do that in Weather Underground. Another option is something called the Global Summary of the Day. This is a huge data source. And here in the U.S., it used to be called the NCDC. It's now called the NCEI. Am I getting that right? National Center for Environmental Information, NCEI. I think that's right. In any case, they have something called the Global Summary of the Day. But actually, I noticed you can get it off even Amazon Web Services as well. So you may also find your local weather service or meteorological organization in your country has that available to you, but you can generally find it. And as long as you're using it for personal use, you're allowed to use it. And you can get all the data there. Now, it's not going to necessarily be as easy. Here, you can do kind of a time frame search and pull just the variables you want. So actually it can be, you know, there's kind of an interface that parses down to the data you need. Maybe a few more steps, but it's generally something that's available for anybody. Now, if you get through this process or get started and you really want to do it and you're getting stuck on getting that data or something, let me know. Be glad to try to help you with it. But long and short of it is, I don't care where you are. If you're trying to measure precip, no precip, if you're trying to look at temperatures, if you're even looking at something like wind or cloud cover, that information is available to you. So you can do your own grade. Now, one of the other things I always recommend is try to do things that allows you to be objective. If you say, well, I wanted to see if they got XYZ right, or something that maybe is a little more subjective, like maybe the only issue forecasts are like either sunny, partly cloudy, or overcast. And you're wondering, okay, how does I match this up to those numbers? It makes it a little more tricky. And that's why people use temperature. The other reason people use temperature a lot versus, like, for instance, trying to measure precise precip is because, as you know, you can't have negative precipitation. So temperature is a variable that easily goes up and down, right? And kind of floats around it, a range. But there's not these barriers like you find with precip. Whatever the case is, though, the point with all this is you can judge your weather source, your weather forecast source, and compare it easily to others. Some cases it's already done for you in the service I mentioned. Some cases you can take a little bit of effort and understand how good they're doing for you. Now, what you're going to do with that information, if they're really bad, you may make a decision to move elsewhere, and that's fine. Because you want to be getting a forecast that's useful to you, whatever your criteria are. But that's why I said try to evaluate multiple sources so that if you did make a decision that it was time to maybe consider an alternate source, then you can pick the one that got the best grade and give them a try maybe. Weather forecasts are never going to be 100% right. We've talked about a variety of reasons why. But they certainly should be right a lot. And within, no, you shouldn't grade anybody. I don't care what the weather service is on an exact number. But if you create some reasonable criteria, for instance, this plus or minus 3 degrees, I might be a little more stringent than that. But whatever it is, I would never evaluate one case because I would want to know what are my best options, right? Who's doing the best job consistently? And again, just be fair to those that you're trying to evaluate. Try to be objective. And make sure that you're getting some good quality forecast. But if your person is, 1% worse than the best one, are you really missing anything in that 1%? Probably not. So there's a way to think about it. Some data sources you can use. And a process for grading your weather forecast source. All right. Weather intertwined, right? Interesting tidbit. Now, we all think of ice cream and weather as being related, right? Hot day. Want me some ice cream. Cold, not so much. But there's an interesting article that was forwarded to a listserv that I'm on this week. And it talked about the problem going on with skyrocketing vanilla cost. Now, what many people don't know is a good portion of the world's vanilla comes from Madagascar, just like a lot of the world's copper comes from Chile. We're much more dependent on a few locations for a lot of things than we think about often. And there was a very powerful tropical cyclone that wreaked havoc across the plantations, the vanilla bean plantations this year. And it's causing real impact. So if you're simple vanilla ice cream is costing twice what it used to. Or if you look at the ingredients and all of a sudden it says fake vanilla extract, just be aware that that's probably what's going on. And I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to read a little more. Madagascar does get tropical cyclones. Some people don't know that. But powerful ones like we saw here, not quite as frequent. So it's a major blow, and it's probably going to take a couple of years before we will see a recovery in that market. So just keep that in mind. All right, I think it's time to wrap up. Let you get on with your weather intertwined week. Now, one of the upcoming episodes I want to do, and it's a good time to mention it with a wrap up, is I want to do kind of a, if you have questions about not so much podcast ideas, you know, episode ideas that we've done before, but just in the general, I've been getting more and more questions about, like, have you ever deleted an episode? How much editing do you do? Just more about the production. And you know, that's weather intertwined because we're doing a podcast about being weather intertwined. So I want to do a show about that. So if you have some questions along those lines, feel free to send them our way. And you can do that a couple ways, right? We got the email, whatisitaboutheweather@gmail.com. You also have the weather form. Weather form. Just a simple form. It's not really, I guess we could call it a weather form. At whatisitaboutheweather.com. Just go to the contact us and it's right there. Just simply fill it out and send it my way. All right. So whether you're touching base with me on that or other things, it's been interesting. You know, one of the continents that I still don't know that I've got anybody in Antarctica, but listeners all over, and we're above 150 countries now, which is great. But probably the continent where there's the most countries that we're missing at this stage is Africa. And I'm not surprised by that, given all the different languages that go on there. And, you know, I don't know how many people in Africa that, you know, they wake up in the morning going, huh, I'm going to look for a weather-related podcast on iTunes. Right. Any case, had some interaction just this week with somebody from Tanzania on the Facebook page and somebody from Tunisia who, you know, was pulling the podcast down for the first time. So a couple of new countries there. That was kind of neat. But no matter how you're coming to us, we thrive and move forward through your support. And that support comes in a variety of ways. You know, and you've heard me mention before, the RSVP method, rate, share, validate, and pledge. Rating, iTunes in particular. If you're an iTunes user, consider going and giving us a review. It helps other people find us. Sharing, and again, I'm hearing more and more, and it's always nice. I recommended your show to a coworker's wife, right? You know, just these casual things. Somebody expressed an interest. You know, I know about this podcast you may be interested in. And that goes a long way. Individual recommendations mean a lot to people. So that is very helpful to helping us find new listeners. Validate. Show ideas. Questions. I had a very long question this week from somebody about climate. And as he said, I understand if you don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, and I may not touch it with a 10-foot pole, but we had an interesting exchange, and I'm always glad to do that. Thoughts, ideas, episodes, questions for this upcoming episode, whatever it might be. Giving us any kind of feedback, it's greatly appreciated. And of course, pledging. If you're getting value from the podcast, help consider giving a little bit back and making sure that we can cover the fundamental cost of doing this podcast, right? There's not a ton of them, but they do exist and they're real. So your support along those lines helps make sure that we can continue to do the podcast. So however you're supporting us, and you can learn more about all these ways at whatisitaboutheweather.com/support. However you're supporting us, whatever you've done to this point, thank you. If you've not taken one of those steps before, or you've only done one and thinking about trying another, consider doing it today, because this helps all of us and new people become more weather intertwined, because as we all know, there's much more to weather than the weather itself.
We're tired of hearing our uncle grovel, so please support him on patreon.com/weather.
This is Two Words Super Production.